Good evening. The 7 p.m. news with Elizabeth Mbombone Agbo. In our top stories, stakeholders in charge of drafting implementation texts for the July 2024 laws on archives and the environment have been called upon to accelerate the process. Prime Minister Head of Government Joseph Dion Gute made a call in Yaounde today while chairing the October cabinet meeting. Cameroon's gross domestic product is projected at 4.5% in 2025 if import substitution and good governance policies are well implemented. In the meantime, 12 councils in the three northern regions in Cameroon will benefit the sum of close to 400 million CFA francs for the implementation of priority projects in their different municipalities, thanks to a partnership agreement signed. Those were our lead stories. Stay tuned for a full development. Prime Minister Joseph Dion Gute has called on stakeholders to accelerate the drafting of implementation texts for the July 2024 laws on archives and the environment. He made a call today in Yaounde during the cabinet meeting of October. The discussions focus on evaluating the impact of the new laws on the management of national archives and forests in Cameroon. Star Building correspondent Christian Che Atom reports.
The law of 24th July 2024 opens new perspectives for the management of archives and the management of forest and wildlife in Cameroon. The cabinet meeting was a moment for the Prime Minister Head of Government, Joseph Dion Gute, and members of cabinet to analyze the laws and examine ways of speeding up their implementation. The Minister of Arts and Culture, Bidung Pat, said the law on archives clarifies the different categories of archives, which now include electronic, audiovisual, and oral archives. He affirmed that the law brings advantages, such as the creation of a public body to manage national archives, provides a funding mechanism for the national archiving system, and strengthens the sanctions regime against defaulters. Minister Bidung Pat, however, cautioned that for the law to fulfill its mission of safeguarding the national archiving system, introducing professionalism and generating jobs, the speedy drafting of implementation texts is crucial. The Minister of Forestry and Wildlife, Jules Dorin Dongo, had a similar assessment. He said, concerning forestry and wildlife, the law of 24th July 2024 replaces the current forestry laws, which after 30 years have become obsolete. He said the new forestry regime covers emerging challenges such as reforestation, improves the fight against poaching, and encourages community participation in environmental protection, amongst others. Minister Jules Dorin Dongo said the speedy drafting of implementation laws, capacity building for personnel, and the recruitment of more eco-guards are important. The Prime Minister Head of Government, Joseph Dion Gute, in his closing remarks, ordered the different stakeholders to accelerate the process of drawing up implementation texts for the laws in order to ensure that they begin serving their full purpose. Christian Cheatam, CRTV, The Star Building.
During today's cabinet meeting chaired by Prime Minister Joseph Dion Gute, the current disease situation in the country was assessed. It was revealed that health indicators across Cameroon remain stable. Here is the Minister of Public Health, Manawoda Malachi's assessment of the health situation. Take a listen.
Globally, everything is calm. With so many flows in our country, we aim to see that we can have a cholera, but nothing is notified up to now. So I think everything is okay. It's also okay for the mpox, for the COVID-19. We have so many sporadic cases, but I think we know that we can take care of all of these patients. We have adopted in national strategy of preparedness and response to health emergencies. So I think that is a document which enables us to be proactive in our response.
Cameroon's Minister of Women's Empowerment and the Family, Marie-Theresa Benaud-Ndoa, says neither bad roads nor poor weather can stop CERAC from helping the needy. She made a statement in Zeng today, where she represented the First Lady, Mrs. Chantal Beer, at a ceremony to hand over a newly constructed and equipped Women's Empowerment Center to the women of the locality. Details with Ayim Bile in Zeng.
Meandering through the lush forest of Nyong'anso Division, members of the Circle of Friends of Cameroon CERAC, led by the First Lady's representative, arrived in Kumasi, a locality in Jeng Subdivision, to a very warm welcome. Dance groups, the local community, the elite, members of parliament, traditional, religious and administrative authorities, as well as students of the Kumasi Secondary School, had all gathered on the ceremonial ground, joining the CERAC ladies for a special event. The official handing over of the Women's Empowerment and Family Center of Njeng, constructed and equipped by CERAC, as well as the handing over of farm tools, food items, wheelchairs, canes, crutches, and more to the rural women and vulnerable groups of the locality. This unfolded with the singing of the national anthem, interreligious prayers, and the welcome address of the mayor of Njeng. Ayi Monique hailed CERAC for the solidarity that is always in motion. The representative of the beneficiaries expressed profound gratitude to CERAC's founding president, First Lady Mrs. Chantal Biya, before the head of the Women's Empowerment Center, Bernadette Meunier, took the floor, grateful and privileged, she said, to now have, for her and her collaborators, a friendly and enabling working environment. Remarks buttressed by the divisional delegates of Women's Empowerment, who hailed CERAC's partnership in promoting the empowerment of rural women, before the First Lady's representative, Minister Marie-Thérèse Abena-Ondua, addressed the people.
Yes.
72 hours after Obala, Minister Marie-Thérèse said CERAC is in Jeng and will continue to be wherever the need arises. She reaffirmed CERAC's commitment to support the head of state's policy of social inclusion, adding that no locality in Cameroon will be forgotten by Mrs. Chantal Biya and her sisters. They, who then went on a guided tour of the newly equipped center, handed the huge donations to the beneficiaries before visiting, accompanied by the governor of the center region, a mini trade fair filled with local products, food and other goodies from Jeng. Philip Mbaiso, Aish Mbile, CRTV, Njeng.
Over in the far north region, Minister Monona Fotso of Youth Affairs and Civic Education has enjoined youths in crisis-affected communities benefiting from a project on peace and economic development to use a donation of equipment to transform flood waters for entrepreneurial projects like agro-pastoral projects. The member of government made the call while presiding over a ceremony to hand over this equipment to the beneficiaries of the support project for the implementation of the National Civic Education Program for Peace Building. Henry Tatoe Kambi reports from CRTV Far North.
Empowering some youths in crisis-stricken localities with the skills to raise awareness on the importance of living in peace and also train others on how to empower other youths economically. That is the goal of the support project for the implementation of the National Civic Education Program for Peace Building, Peaceful Cohabitation and Living Together in Crisis-Affected Communities in Cameroon. Paul Couster is UNESCO's regional director and resident representative in Cameroon.
It is the purpose of the Peace Building Fund of United Nations to help national policies to sustain peace.
The beneficiaries were gifted a stock of equipment that will help reinsert youths, especially those who have projects related to exploiting the flood waters for other uses. Babasu Aya Simon, representative of the beneficiaries.
We receive working material like sewing machines, computers, and they will help us to be economically empowered.
The Minister of Youth Affairs and Civic Education, Monona Fotso, enjoined the beneficiaries to go to their localities and preach peace as well as foster economic development. Marwa Henry Tatoe Kambi, CLTV.
As you heard in one of our lead stories, the gross domestic product of Cameroon, which stands at 4.1%, is projected to 4.5% in 2025. Experts believe this will be possible only if import substitution and good governance policies are well implemented. They were speaking in the third edition of a debate organized in Yaoundé by Valentine Zinga, the publisher of a magazine that handles economic issues. Vanessa Wutnang Sinamo reports.
The steady increase in the prices of food items and transportation costs in Cameroon, among others, accounts for the inflation rate that moved from 6.25% in 2022 to 7.39% in 2023. This does not favor the attainment of the country's National Development Strategy goals by 2035. Dr. Jean-Louis Marie Cagdeux is an entrepreneur and politician.
If you see just the land tenure in Cameroon, there is no way you can produce without solving that problem. And the capitalistic approach that we have today is not adequate. If you see how people are expropriated, give land to only one person, it will be difficult for industry to emerge.
Stepping up production and encouraging the consumption of local produce, among others, are, according to Babi Sakana, vital for economic growth.
We have to change the leadership of our system. We have to re-engineer all the structures of the state.
For Jacques Jonathan Nyemb, a lawyer and former member of JICAM, Cameroon's emergence will hardly be reached without reinforcing the public-private partnership.
To fight against underemployment, we need to reach an inclusive growth rate above 8%. It is critical that we rely more on public-private partnerships to solve our infrastructure issues.
Mindful of the fact that much is being done to ease the business climate in the country, the experts remain optimistic about the future with regards to this Cameroon's economic outlook should things be done otherwise.
Vanessa Woodnang Sinamo reporting. In Benakuma mentioned the vision, officials report that over 2,000 pupils and students are enrolled in schools for the 2024-2025 school year, with institutions operating fully despite persistent social unrest in the Northwest. The announcement came during the council's second ordinary session, where the officials were also pushing for the issuance of birth certificates to enable learners participate in public exams in the budget plans for 2024. Jolenta Rosa Fanui reports from Celtibi Northwest.
Benakuma Municipal Authorities are tackling the pressing issue of lack of birth certificates for learners in the locality and have pledged to issue over 2,000 certificates to enable their participation in official exams. Mayor Ihimbru Solomon reports that several infrastructure projects, including road upgrades, were completed this year.
Some routes were realized, classrooms, but other routes are pending. We have realized guest house, supply of medical equipment, which are some of those projects that are very important to our communities.
For 2025, the council plans to expand development with new roads, bridges, and additional classrooms in selected schools.
We have projects in the domain of education, health, water, and agriculture.
The officials have also committed to constructing 5 boreholes to improve water access and to rehabilitate the integrated health center to enhance quality health services. Jolenta Rose Fanui, CRTV News, Bamenda.
It has been disclosed that the security situation in Vina Division of the Adamawa is under control, with a significant decrease in crime wave and kidnapping for ransom over the past months. The senior divisional officer, Valerie Quella Lobe, made a declaration during a security and coordination meeting to assess the current security situation and to reinforce strategies for maintaining peace and stability within the Vina. Ellis Wajibanya reports from Seratovia Adamawa.
Inhabitants of the Vina Division in the Adamawa region have been enjoying relative peace for the past months, despite some 26 cases of kidnapping for ransom recorded between January and September. According to the Vina Senior Divisional Officer, Valerie Quella Nobe, all the hostages have been freed and calm reigns regardless of major socioeconomic challenges that still prevail in his administrative unit.
On the political domain, the situation is calm. In the economic domain, prices of some product has no a bit raised.
In a meeting with all 8 divisional officers of the Vina, as well as representatives of the forces of law and order, the senior divisional officer was able to provide updates, discuss challenges, and outline recommendations for improved living conditions for locals.
Concerning the security domain, we instructed the divisional officers and the forces of law and order to be permanent on the field. And by so doing, I think that we can cancel this phenomenon of the kidnapping.
The meeting concluded with a strong consensus that the current security and socioeconomic situation is manageable, provided that proactive measures and community cooperation continue. Erlis Wajibanmiya, CRTV News, Ngaundiri.
You are listening to the 7 p.m. news. Our in-depth segment of the news today examines the contribution of women in the fight against climate change. Women from across Cameroon have gained effective strategies for addressing climate change within their communities. The three-day forum, which concluded today at the National School of Forestry in Balmayo, was organized by an association known as Convergence des Femmes du Cameroun sur le changement climatique. This forum equally offered a comprehensive approach to climate education, equipping participants with the knowledge and tools needed to tackle the impacts of climate change at both local and national levels. Rita Yosembong reports.
Over 200 women gathered with a shared mission to be empowered as central agents of climate change. Through discussions, presentations, exhibitions, and sales, these women have learned how to make a tangible difference in their communities. One participant explains that the forum has opened her eyes to the real impact of climate change and how she as a woman can contribute to solutions. The women had stands showcasing made in Cameroon products, ranging from cosmetics to agro-food items, all proudly crafted with local resources. Hands-on workshops also offered practical training in valuable skills like soap making, eco-friendly fish smoking, and nursery setup. Another participant shares that seeing these locally produced items inspires her, and she's realized that Cameroon can make a difference through sustainable products. These activities not only promote sustainable practices, but have also equipped the participants with the knowledge to launch income-generating ventures once they return home.
In the North, women are taking proactive steps to address the escalating environmental challenges brought about by climate change, desertification, and deforestation. These issues, worsened by encroachment on protected areas and other harmful environmental practices, have heightened the region's vulnerability to climate impacts. In response, numerous women have embraced initiatives to salvage the situation, as you tell us, Julius Niba of CRTV North.
The North region is characterized with a fragile ecology that encompasses challenges linked to land degradation, climate change, and ecosystems that have over the years imposed a new way of life on the local populations, particularly the women folk, who are largely involved in agricultural endeavors. In a bid to contribute their own quota in addressing the phenomenon, the president of the United Women of Garoua Association, Rugayatu Yusuf, says they've been involving the women in mass tree planting campaigns.
We have been planting the neem tree, which is adapted to our climate across the region, in an effort to fight desertification.
Alongside the ongoing sustainable mass tree planting campaigns, Hawao Ali, president of the Colombe du Sahel Association, says they've been encouraging the women to embrace sustainable, environmental friendly methods of cooking in a bid to reduce polluting the atmosphere.
We have been sensitizing the women not to cut down trees for charcoal, and we have also been helping the production of improved stoves, all geared towards fighting climate change.
In recent times, a good number of women in the North region have also been receiving trainings on how to produce ecological charcoal from their agricultural waste and more, in a bid to address the nefarious effects of climate change on their socioeconomic engagements and livelihood. Julius Neba, CRTV News, Garoua.
According to statistics from the Ministry of the Environment, Protection of Nature and Sustainable Development, women suffer the most from the effects of climate change. In the following analysis, some Lingong says involving women in decision-making instances can help change the situation.
Women and girls face disproportionate impacts from climate change, largely because they are dependent on local natural resources for their livelihoods. During droughts and erratic rainfall, rural women work harder, walk long distances, and spend much time securing income and resources for their families. Situations which expose them to increased risk of gender-based violence as climate change exacerbates existing conflicts and vulnerability. Given their position on the front lines of the climate crisis, women must act as agents, finding ways that will help mitigate the causes of global warming and adapt to various extreme weather events. Despite the fact that women are leaders in post-disaster recovery, they are excluded from shaping policies, strategies, and programs that help address disaster risk and resilience. Having women actively involved in decision-making is of prime importance in finding lasting solutions to better adopt appropriate mitigation and adaptation mechanisms. It is time to invest in women as a strong force for change, leading the way to a more sustainable future.
Away from our in-depth segment of the news, the second Youth Forum on Climate Adaptation Finance in Africa has ended in Yaoundé today with a call on the international community to allocate more funding to the development of alternative energy sources in Africa. This is contained in a declaration sanctioned at the end of the forum, which they say will be forwarded to African negotiators for deliberation at the COP29 in Baku. Here is the main trainer at the forum, Eugene Fongwa, with a summary of points discussed.
This conference was convened against the backdrop that in Africa we are experiencing increasing impacts of climate change. And in fact, every report up to this point shows that the impacts of climate change are going to increase on the continent. Unfortunately, while these impacts are increasing, financing for adaptation, which are measures that help communities to deal with these impacts, has been very insufficient. In fact, Africa hardly receives up to a quarter of what it needs to deal with the problems it's facing. And after discussing around these issues, they also explored the role that energy access could play in helping communities to adapt. And so one of the key recommendations is that the global community should recognize the role of energy access in building adaptive capacities and resilience in Africa, provide the resources that are needed to provide energy to communities so that they can become more resilient with the impact of climate change.
On to sports, the president of the National Federation of University Sports, Professor Tsafak Nomfoso, has presented a new format of the University Games to officials of the University of Betwa and other private higher institutions of learning in the East region. According to this new format, universities grouped under four pools will compete before qualifying to participate in the National Games. And out of the country, Kenya's High Court has lifted an order blocking the swearing-in of Kithure Kindiki as deputy president following the impeachment of his predecessor. In an unprecedented political drama that has gripped the nation, Rigathi Gachagua was removed from office 2 weeks ago after Parliament overwhelmingly approved an impeachment motion. And on to this press release from MTN. Gain time, pay tuition and examination fee in just a few seconds and in a very safe way. Dial *126*007# or go to ministrypay.cm.enter your matricule. Pay and download your receipt. Momo is more. Everything is more with Momo. And on to this other press release, the Minister of Finance, considering the significant interest observed in recent days regarding the filing of tax returns, hereby informs non-professional taxpayers subject to the annual personal income tax declaration that the deadline for submission has been extended to December 1, 2024. Additionally, the Minister of Finance commends the numerous taxpayers who have already voluntarily fulfilled this tax obligation. The Minister of Finance further emphasizes that Non-compliance with this filing obligation will result in the enforcement of penalties as stipulated in the Manual of Tax Procedures to further assist the concerned taxpayers in meeting their filing requirements. Dedicated support teams have been deployed at their respective tax offices and within the Directorate General of Taxation, along with an online assistance mechanism, including a toll-free call center 8200, an electronic assistance platform, help desk accessible via the homepage of the Directorate General of Taxation's website www.support.harmony2.cm, a messaging service +237 691 881 881, specifically for taxpayers residing abroad. The Minister of Finance counts on the compliance of all. And with that, we call it quits in this edition of the 7 p.m. news, in which you heard that stakeholders in charge of drafting implementation texts for the July 2024 laws on archives and the environment have been called upon to accelerate the process. Prime Minister Head of Government Joseph Diongute made a call in Yaounde today while chairing the October cabinet meeting. Cameroon's gross domestic product is projected at 4.5% in 2025 if import substitution and good governance policies are well implemented. In the meantime, 12 councils in the three northern regions in Cameroon will benefit the sum of close to 400 million CFA francs for the implementation of priority projects in their different municipalities, thanks to a partnership agreement signed. The 7 p.m. news is a presentation of Elizabeth Mbombone Agbo.